Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 105, and finish this longest chapter in the Bible, this longest psalm, an acrostic psalm, where it is made up of 22 sections devoted to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each section, the lines in each section, begin with the letter designated for that section. And all of it is a celebration of God's word, specifically God's written word, not just the law of Moses, but the historical books of Moses as well, from Genesis onward, and the books of Joshua and Judges and Ruth and 1st and 2nd Samuel. All that stuff's been written down by now, and is in circulation and is available for the Jewish people to learn from. And that's the point of the written word, both Old Testament and New Testament. So the next section that we're looking at starts in verse 105, and it's the letter nun, or the sound for an N in our language, the English language. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Nice imagery there. Everybody needs to have a bright light shining ahead of them as they're walking through the dark. And that's what the word of God is to us. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O he who is, according to your word. So make promises to follow in the Lord's path, and sometimes we end up getting in trouble from other groups because of that, other individuals, but God gives us eternal life through the midst of that. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O he who is, and teach me your rules. So we give God praise, and God gives us directives. God gives us help in living the holy lifestyle. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Now, it's possible David is the one that's writing this. And if that's the case, then he's thinking about how he's been on the verge of being killed on several occasions. And God's the one that brings him through it. And so he needs to attend to God's word. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. See, the scripture, the Bible, should bring joy to us. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end, or to the completion. Next section is the letter Samech. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. In Hebrew poetry in particular, but Hebrew culture, love is about commitment, hate is about non-commitment. So David, or the psalmist, whoever that might be, does not want to be committed to people who are two-faced, double-tongued, double-minded. He wants to instead be committed to God's word. And that's good advice for all of us. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And a little bit of military language there, perhaps because David might be writing this. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Now, if there's something familiar about that particular verse, it's because Jesus borrows that first phrase and uses it in one of his teachings about what will happen after he comes back. There will be some people that will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do the other thing on your behalf and in your name? And his response will be, depart from me, you evildoers. I do not know who you are. And so the warning that Jesus was giving is, just because you do stuff doesn't make you have a commitment or a relationship with Jesus. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to go all the way down. And one of the ways to make sure of that is a commitment to God's word. Verse 116, uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. And so that might be that idea that, you know, when you're going through tough times, you get a little bit of that slumping, you know, emotionally. Just like when you're trying to run a long distance, or in the case of a military situation, you're trying to carry out an operation and it's used up all your energy. What do you need? You need somebody to hold you up. You need somebody to be your buddy, to, you know, take your arm over their shoulder and move forward with you. Well, that's what God's word can do for us. That's God's way of helping us through it. Verse 118, you spurn all those who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. So sometimes people are playing games with God, and God doesn't put up with that. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross, and therefore I love your testimonies. In the New Testament, we often have this idea of testing by fire. And the idea was to be put through this cleansing process like they did with ore. You put it in the blast furnace or in the high heat, and you got the junk out of there and pushed it off to the side. That's the dross. And all that remained was the pure. Well, the Word of God helps us with that. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need to remember who God is, that He is a holy God, and He has standards that we are supposed to uphold. Verse 121 starts the Ayin section. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. So when we do what is right, we can call out to God to assist us when the going gets tough, when we get, you know, kicked back. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Remember, God's ultimate salvation is Jesus. His name says, He who is salvation. So our eyes are longing for Jesus and for the fulfillment of the promise of salvation in Christ, first from sin, and then later from death, where we will live eternally in holiness. Verse 124, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. A request for a relationship based on God's word. It is time for he who is to act, for your law has been broken, and therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. God's word, God's way, is broken all the time by this world as a group and individually, and we need to not be part of that problem. We need to be commended or be committed to His word and value it above everything else. And then verse 128, therefore I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Verse 129, pay. Your testimonies are wonderful, and therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. The simple are those that don't know what's needed to make good choices. And so the Word of God fixes that issue. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. You know how it is on a hot day when you're out working, or maybe you're a runner and you're out there doing your run and you start doing that panting thing, trying to get more oxygen into your lungs. Well, that's the attitude we should have toward God's word. We want it as much as the oxygen going into our oxygen depleted lungs. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Remember, God's name is He Who Is. And once we love that name and love that relationship, God's word helps us to attain to it. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. See, we don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. That's what Paul said. Instead, we want to give our bodies in servitude to the Lord. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make my face shine upon your servant and teach me, excuse me, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. So God is the one that brings light into our lives. My eyes shed tears, or streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Does it make you sad to see people not doing things God's way? If you're God's person, it ought to make you sad. Now, we can't force them to do it, but we can try to convince them through our own lifestyle that doing things God's way is the better choice. Next section is Tzade. Verse 137, righteous are you, O he who is, and right are your rules. See, that's confession. That's the acknowledgement about who God is and what he's like, and that we accept that as being true. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. So, other people forget to do things God's way, but the desire to do it His way is inside of us. It just eats us up. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. See, this is not a flash in the pan new stuff. This is stuff that's been around a long time and been tested over and over and over again and found to be true. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. See, it doesn't matter who you are in society. You might be like a nobody in the eyes of society. But to God, you are somebody. And you need, and I need, to soak up His word and realize our real worth. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. See, God's word, God's precepts, God's principles is what gives us a good life here and a great life in eternity. Next section is devoted to the letter Kof. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O he who is, I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. Whoever's writing this, possibly David, was a morning person. That's when they got up and did some of their praising. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. But apparently, there's a little bit of night owl involved as well from time to time. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O he who is, according to your justice, give me life. We do things on God's standard, and so this is a good way to acknowledge that. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose, but they are far from your law. But you are near, O he who is, and all your commandments are true. Sometimes it feels like we're all alone. But the scripture, which is what we're celebrating with this psalm, lets us know that God is always right there with us. Long have I found from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Resh. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. So we want God to intercede on our behalf. And that's exactly who Jesus is. He is that great intercessor between God and man. The man God, Jesus. Plead my cause, redeem me, give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O he who is. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. That's the way to take a stand. No matter how many people are against us because of God, we stick with his word and his way. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Next section, the reason there, if you've got a new an English Standard Version, I think other Bible versions in English do this as well. It has two letters mentioned here, Sin and Shin. That's because this letter is sometimes a S sound and sometimes it's a Sh sound. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. See, it's a treasure when we go through God's word and find something interesting and new, and we hide it away in our heart. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. That definitely should be our mindset. We should not be committed to falsehood. We should be committed to the truth of God's word. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Now, it's unlikely that whoever's writing this psalm is saying, I have seven times of worship that I do every day. But rather, seven here is representing a perfection, a completion number. And so he makes it a full day of praising God. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Let's let that be true about us. Let us have the peace that passes all human understanding dwelling in our hearts because we know God's word. Verse 166, I hope for your salvation, O he who is, and I do your commandments. So another section where I think Jesus' name is kind of being highlighted by the Holy Spirit. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So God knows us inside and out, and we should know his word inside and out so that we can live the way he wants us to live. And that leaves us with the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the final letter, Tau. Let my cry come before you, O Lord, or he who is. Give me understanding according to your word. See, we got trouble going on. We got issues going on. We call out to God. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. So we keep our hope in God keeping his promises. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Now keep in mind, the whole time we've been going through these psalms, these things have been put to music and are sung. And so it's the word of God in musical form. Verse 123, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O he who is, and your law is my delight. Are we longing for Jesus? Are we longing for the Word of God? Can you just hardly stand it until you can be involved in another Bible study or read a little bit more of Scripture or hear somebody talk about the Word of God? Verse 175, let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And I love the way we end here with the idea that we're lost sheep and we need a good shepherd. A good shepherd that loves the sheep and comes looking for the lost ones. Because what do we know from Scripture? Jesus is that good shepherd, and Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What a wonderful way to finish up our look at Psalm 119. We've got a few minutes left in our time together today where we can set up for our study next week, because next week we'll be going back to the historical narrative. Let's talk a little bit about the chronology of David. Remember that he became the king of Israel at the time that Saul was killed in the Battle of Mount Gilboa. However, the first 2 years of his kingdom was spent in a bit of a civil war between himself and the remaining son of King Saul. That was resolved, unfortunately, with the assassination of that son, as well as the commander of the United Israeli forces. After that, David reigned from Hebron until about the 8th year of his kingdom, and then he took over the city of Jebus and renamed it Jerusalem, and has been reigning there since. So the next story that we're going to come to is about how David sought out a son of Saul in order to keep his promise of blessing the family of Jonathan. And this man's name is Merib Baal. The story has to be matched up with another story that must have happened right around the same time, or shortly after David meets with Merib Baal, because it involves some other descendants of King Saul that are in trouble and end up being executed. So my best guess, based on the information that we have at hand, is that David probably sought out the descendant of Jonathan and his father Saul in the next sabbatical year that was coming up, which would be the 14th year of David, or by our standards, 1004 going into 1003 BC. And then shortly thereafter, there is a famine that causes David to ask God, why do we have this famine? And that reveals the problem with some of Saul's other relatives that have been out causing trouble. And they end up being executed, but Merib Baal is protected in that story from any retribution that is carried out. So those two stories together, I think, is going to help us place the events that we will go to next about 14 years or so into the reign of David. Now, if you want to read ahead a little bit, you can read 2 Samuel chapter 9. Then you have to go over to 2 Samuel chapter 21 in some appendix material in order to read the other parts. The Merib Baal name, by the way, has the same issue that we've been talking about with some of the other names of this time period. It has Baal in it, which some later scribes objected to, so they changed the names in order to reflect their hatred of the pagan deity Baal. So Merib Baal's name in the scripture that we'll be seeing is Mephibosheth. And so I will explain that again when we get back together next week. So have a great weekend. Have a great worship time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And make sure you shine the light of Jesus Christ, everyone you see this week.